Looking for hope in a bad relationship? Today I have Christine Lavulo with me to talk about her marriage and how she was able to change the way she was thinking to help fight and save her marriage. Today on the Be Do Concept podcast. Welcome. Today, we're super excited to have Christine Lavulo, did I say that right?
With you us did.
Today. Yay. She is a number one international best-selling author, a certified Jack Canfield Success Principles trainer, and a Maxwell Leadership certified speaker, coach, and trainer. And we are super excited to have her with us. She is writing a book. I have had the privilege of reading through it, so I'm excited for you to read it and to have her explain a little bit of her journey and what has taken her to where she is right now. Christine, do you want to tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Lindy. Yeah, thank you. It's so great to be on here and to be talking more with you. So I know we had talked a little bit about what led me to get all these credentials and certifications. I'm also a certified professional success coach, and it all kind of started in 2010. Me and my husband had been married for about 12 years, and we quickly went from having a really great marriage, you know, bumps and bruises along the way, but a really great marriage, to having everything kind of fall apart really quickly. You know, in 2010, the economy had made a dramatic change, and that had affected our financial situation. And we were in foreclosure and having major financial problems, which with a new baby had put a lot of extra pressure on our marriage. And we weren't communicating. We weren't really having compassion for each other, and we weren't cooperating. And one day it kind of came to a head on Mother's Day. My husband told me he wanted to go to his sister's house for Mother's Day, even though we had plans to go to my mom's. And I was the ringleader of my mom's Mother's Day thing, so I could not go. And my husband decided to go to his sister's instead, and our kids wanted to go with him so that they could play with their cousins. So here I am on Mother's Day going to my mom's house with just the baby, and I am just crying, you know, I'm in tears. And I sat there thinking, is this the marriage I want? I can't do this anymore. And I sent my husband a text message and just said, I'm done. And a few months later, me and the boys moved out to a house down the street. And at first, when we moved out, it seemed like we were going to get back together, me and my husband, really fast. You know, our house was in foreclosure. He could just move back into the house I'd moved into. And it seemed like, you know, he was open to going to counseling and open to kind of working through some of the issues that we had. And then just as quickly as it seemed like things were going to work out, things took another dramatic turn. And kind of overnight, he became a stranger to me. He had a girlfriend. He was drinking. He was partying. It was just really a really dramatic change. And so I was anxious to get divorced and just move on with my life. You know, I figure I can find somebody. I'm still young enough. You know, that kind of thing. And just as I was getting ready to have him served with papers, I remember being on my bedroom floor crying, because of course you're mourning the loss of your relationship, even though you're thinking maybe there's hope in something new. And it was literally like it felt like the hand of God tapped me on my shoulder. And I remember thinking, yes, Lord, what do you want? And very clearly, I heard a voice say, I want you to fight for your marriage. And I thought, fight for this marriage? Are you kidding me? Like, what is there to fight for? And I heard it again. I want you to fight for your marriage. So of course I keep arguing with the Lord, and I hear it again, and I feel it so strong. I want you to fight for your marriage. And if you will, I promise you, I'll create the best marriage you've ever had. And I thought, you know, in the early years, our marriage was pretty good. So if God can make it better, you know, that's definitely worth fighting for. So I kind of went on this pursuit and this journey to get my husband back to the man that I had fallen in love with. And it took about 15 months. And during that time, I was learning a lot of things about myself. And I was learning a lot of what caused our breakdown of our marriage, at least from my perspective, and from what I had control over. And at one point, I remember being with friends, and we'd been praying and talking, and one of them said, you're meant to write a book, and you're meant to speak about this, and you're meant to help other people who like this is all preparing you for helping people who are going through this also so that you can help pave the way. So once we got our marriage back on track and it was restored and it really was made better than ever, I started thinking, how do I do this? How do I take what I learned and actually find a way to teach people to speak about it? You know, I mean, I can get up there and probably deliver a keynote. I'm a pretty good speaker, but I didn't really know how to structure things in a way that would make sense for people. And so about several years after our marriage had been restored, I was talking to someone that was talking to me about my passion and my purpose and telling me, somewhere I just know you're meant to be a coach and a trainer. And I said, yeah, I know. And she talked me into going to Jack Canfield's One Day to Greatness. And I remember sitting there and I almost didn't go. I'll be honest. I almost didn't go. And I felt a really strong shove that I really needed to be there. And during that, the principles he was teaching of his success principles were resonating. Like, that's what I did. That's how I got my marriage back on track. And so all of a sudden I had this platform that I could use to teach people that made sense outside of my head, right? So that led me to get my Canfield certified trainer credentials. And then, of course, just being in the space of leadership led me to John Maxwell, and then wanting to take it a step further and really know that I can coach people in the best possible way. I did the CPSC, but that's just a little synopsis. And yeah, I guess that's just a little synopsis there about me.
Thank you, Christine. I know that a lot of my listeners are people who have difficult relationships, and I love that you fought for your marriage and that you were able to actually pull that back together and to have a thriving marriage now. You talk about how happy you are. And I want to know just a little bit for me as a do thinker, I'm always wondering, well, what did you do to be able to make that to happen? But I also know that you're a be thinker. So this will be really interesting for our be thinkers out there as well, who want to know, well, how were you being and how is that different? Did you change the way you were thinking, or was it just one or the other? I'd love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, I think that's the most amazing part is while we all lean towards one way of thinking, I think it's takes a little practice, but you can pull them together, right? Because you can't just be and you can't just do. You kind of have to learn how to do and be both. So, you know, I am definitely a be thinker, and my husband is definitely a do thinker. I feel like. So in the beginning, it was about who I was being. You know, I feel like I had become prideful, closed off. And it's funny because at the time, from a spiritual level, I thought I was really close to the spirit. And I thought, you know, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing and I must be on the right path. And I remember feeling like my husband was so prideful and he's just not the man I married anymore. He's not showing up. He's not being who I thought he was. And along my journey, one day I had this massive epiphany that, first of all, I'm not being the person he fell in love with either.
Ooh.
You know, I thought about the sweet person I was, you know, and the way I treated him and the way I talked to him and the way I want to spend time with him. And I'm like, you know, I'm not showing up as the woman he fell in love with. Why would I expect him to show up, you know, as the person I fell in love with? So that was kind of one of the beginning things. I started realizing that everything I was accusing him of, as far as being prideful and, you know, not listening and not treating me right, was stuff it was being mirrored to me. You know, I could basically put the mirror on me and recognize I was being prideful. I wasn't, you know, talking to him kindly. I wasn't treating him well. And so that was kind of the beginning epiphany of recognizing who I was being, but then I had to put it in action and start doing right. So I actually had been introduced to a book called The Love Dare several years before our separation. And I'd watched the movie Fireproof, if anybody's familiar with that. And something in the early stages of our separation, when God first told me to fight for our marriage, I thought, I'm going to do the Love Dare. And I thought that the Love Dare was kind of to try to help him fall back in love with me. I thought that was the point of it, but I realized it was to change my heart and help me to learn how to love. And in doing that 40-day challenge, it really taught me both ways of thinking, ways of being, but also things to do, you know? And so I think that was kind of instrumental. It was kind of an instrumental springboard for me. It changed the way I viewed love. It changed the way I viewed the relationship. And I think that really helped me to be able to do the things that needed to be done, because it was a hard year. It was a hard year, and I lost hope a lot. And even my, you know, ecclesiastic leader was like, "Why are you doing this? Just I'll help you find a better man." I mean, you know, and so when you feel like I had like two people that were kind of like, yeah, you can do this, you know, and encouraging me, and everybody else was like, just cut your losses. Like, you know, there's other fish in the sea. But I just knew that this was what I needed to do. And of course, nobody wants to get divorced. You know, I mean, that's not what you think you want when you get married. So besides the fact that I didn't want to get divorced, and having this strong impression that this is what God wants for me, you know, I started to realize it's what I wanted to, you know, I really did want to have my husband back and have him the man that I knew he was capable of being. And I wanted to be the woman that I knew I could be for him as well.
Oh, Christine, I love that, because it is so much of that B way of thinking. And at the same time, I had a very similar experience, because near the end of my marriage, I also read The Love Dare. I don't know if I told you that.
Oh my gosh, I don't think I knew that.
I read The Love Dare and had a similar experience where I was doing everything I felt like I could do to save my marriage. Somebody suggested I read the book, and reading that book, I realized that love, like you said, just had almost a different definition. And the definition I came back with is that unconditional love is staying in a state of love. It is being love, which I realized I was not being in a state of love all the time. And that's where my thinking got switched over. And I started thinking a little bit more about being in this state of love, which I think, you know, you had that, but it was more about the doing for you.
Right. Well, and I think that's what's so cool, right? The complementary side of it is what we always take out of it. And that's what we need. We need to learn that other side of things so we can, I guess, have a paradigm shift and really be able to step in someone else's shoes. And I feel like when we can learn to be in someone else's shoes, when we can learn to change our perspective and consider other people's perspectives and consider what other people are experiencing and why they're doing what they're doing, then we kind of open ourselves up to really having a true agape love, a true unconditional love, because now we are loving them even though they're different, right? And we're able to embrace what's different about them, and we're able to accept their different perspectives and their different viewpoints, because we're able to see it a little bit more completely.
Yes. I wonder if your Jack Canfield trainings and those things, were those eye-opening because they helped you see maybe some of the other reasons that he was doing the things he was doing, or that people think in these opposite ways, or was that something different?
Well, I think one of the first things that I kind of learned and that really resonated with me, and my favorite success principle to teach, is the first success principle, which is taking 100% responsibility. And when I stepped back and realized that I had created what I was experiencing, I had no other choice but to start saying, okay, what about me did this? And so it does make you think, how should I say, it takes you out of the blame game. I was no longer blaming him for what was wrong. I was no longer blaming him for how he treated me in the marriage. And I was no longer blaming him for how he was treating me in our separation and the things he was doing. I just no longer had this blame and this anger, but I was just constantly reflecting on, how am I creating this? You know, and one of the success principles, I mean, the success principle of 100% responsibility has a formula, and it's E plus R equals O. And the E stands for event, plus R for the response equals O, outcome. So whatever you're experiencing, that event that's happening, and how you choose to respond to that event is going to create your outcome. And so you learn to kind of reverse engineer. Well, what outcome do I want? Okay, I can't change the event. That's happening. Whether I like it or not, this experience is going on. And the only thing that's going to change the outcome is how I choose to respond. And so I started changing my responses. So in the first part of our separation, I thought I could like guilt and shame him into coming back. I mean, not that I was intentionally being manipulative. I just think that's our natural way, you know, like, don't you want to be with your family? Don't you want to stay together with your sons? Don't you like, you know, I tried to shame him and make him feel obligated to come back, which is not what I want, right? I want him to come back because he wants to, not because he feels obligated. But for some reason, that's where my mind would always take me, is to this place of trying to think I can make him feel so bad he comes back. But all I did was make him feel so bad he wanted to stay away. Right. And so once I started changing the way I responded to him, and once I started letting go of the outcome, I just quit worrying about it. I put it in God's hands. God told me to fight for my marriage. He would restore it. I've got to trust that. And I've got to just focus on what I am doing. So once I let go of what my husband was doing and just looked at what I was doing and how I was responding, that's when everything really started to shift, and it shifted quickly. It was pretty much like 10 months of this fighting upstream and you know, just going crazy, to be honest, like wanting just to walk away, not wanting to stay in the fight. And then once I started really learning that principle, once I really started executing it and putting it into practice, that's when things really started to shift fast. That's when he really wanted to be around me, you know, and he wanted to consider, could we work this out? Because now I was becoming the woman that he fell in love with. You know, I was becoming that kind person, that compassionate person, that understanding person. I was loving, where I can say that in our marriage towards the end, before we separated, I can't say that I was an incredibly loving person, you know? And so, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Was it me treating him that way that caused him to be that way? Or was it him treating me that way that caused me to return it? Who knows? Who knows where it started? It didn't matter. I had the opportunity to end it. I had the opportunity to change me. And by changing me, honestly, I mean, we separated right before right after our 12-year anniversary. We're getting ready to celebrate our 25th anniversary. He hasn't changed that much. But because I've changed and my perspective's changed, our marriage has changed, if that makes sense. He's still the same guy I separated from. Not as bad. Like, our relationship is a lot better. We communicate a lot better. But he didn't have some dramatic journey too. I mean, maybe he did. I don't know what his journey was completely, but it was all me. It was me making the changes. It was me seeing things differently. It was me responding differently that really created the change in our marriage. At least from my experience.
Yeah. Do you feel like the changes you made in you are things that are more consistent now? You do them continually, or only when you're thinking about them? How's that changed you versus changing just what you're doing?
Yeah. So I think both. I think there's a paradoxical change that comes where you have some permanency in the changes, right? You're aware. So once you become aware, then you start noticing. But there are times where we start having conflict in our marriage, and I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go again. And he'll be like, you know, he'll kind of make comments about, you know, I shouldn't have come back. And we'll have these arguments because we're still human, right? We're still working this through and figuring out life. And I will take a step back and I'll be like, you know, Christine, what do you teach? Are you taking 100% responsibility right now? And I always go back to that specific principle. And there's a couple of principles that you can really use, but that's, to me, the foundational one. And so I do, I go back to the basics. I go back to what am I wanting? You know, what am I wanting in my marriage? And am I showing up to be the person that is going to attract that? Am I showing up my best version for him, you know, for my husband to want, to treat me the way I deserve to be treated, you know, just those types of things. So I think, in some ways it's second nature, and in some ways I have to remind myself at certain times. I think a lot of it depends on what you're going through. I think the experiences we have in life, and especially when you're under a lot of stress and pressure, which is what causes conflict in marriage most of the time, is stress and pressure from work, kids, family, career, whatever, money. So when I start feeling those stressors and we start having conflict, I have to always remind myself, you know, these things aren't that big of a deal. But how I choose to respond to them is a very big deal, because it's going to dictate what I'm going to have moving forward. And so I do sometimes have to take a step back and remind myself of what do I really want? And am I responding in a way that's going to get me what I want? Not in a way to manipulate, but in a way just to create the best and most fulfilling life.
I love that. To me, that sounds like you learn do thinking. I mean, right there. because do thinking is, it's always being focused on what you're doing, what you want the outcome to be, making sure you're responding in a way that gets you what you want. But you naturally have a B way of thinking. And I'd love to talk about that for just a minute, because while I've always been able to think, well, this is what I want to happen, this is how I want to respond, all of those kinds of strengths, I haven't had the focus of, you know, who do I want to be? How do I want to show myself? How do I want to present myself? I love that you decided to get all of these certifications and that you decide, you know, well, I'm just going to be this person. It's not like do thinking where I need to do all these things so that I can be this person in the future. You are that person, right? Just from the moment. Maybe explain a little bit about how that's worked for you in your life, even growing up.
You know, it's interesting. And I sometimes think that I take a lot after my dad. I mean, I think you're just born, right? You're kind of just born with these certain innate abilities that lead you in one direction or the other, and kind of form thoughts through childhood experiences. And so it just always made sense to me, I guess, of who do I want to become? You know, I mean, as a little girl, you would think about what do I want to do for a living, you know, but it was not what I'm going to do when I grow up. It's who am I going to be when I grow up? You know, I'm going to be a solid gold dancer. I'm going to be a professional singer. It was never, I'm going to do this for work. It's who I'm going to be. And so I think that was just always ingrained in my mind, probably because that is the way I perceived the world. You know, that was how I saw things. And so it's, I think it's almost hard to break it down in a way, because it's so naturally who you are. But everything I chose to do in my life was always around who I wanted to be, like picking classes in school and picking careers, was all to help me become the person that I saw it. You know, I think our mind's eye has a good vision of who we are. And so it's like, we take action to try to create that. Or at least for me, that's how it was. I saw who I could be in my mind. And so every action was to help me become that.
Yes.
Maybe that, I guess that probably is different for a do thinker, the way they get there, the way they perceive it. But for me, that's how it was. Everything was going towards what I felt in my heart and saw in my third eye, that who I was meant to be, if that makes sense. Did I answer your question?
No, that's perfect. I think B thinkers, at least the ones I've talked to, yeah, it's like you have this idea of who you are and who you're meant to be. And little by little, you're more of yourself that way. But I think sometimes they're a little bit harder on themselves when they're not being that person.
It's true.
It's a little more like, well, we're not there yet, but you know, I'm doing this little thing that will lead me there, which is, I think, a little different than the B thinking.
Right. I was wondering how do thinkers, like, so tell me that same question for you. Like, how was that for you being a do thinker growing up, and how did that shape you to get where you're at?
Sure. Well, and it's interesting that you said, as a child, I also had big goals. I wanted to be an Olympic gymnast. I wanted to be a musical actress. Those were some big goal dreams that I had, but it was about the doing. Well, what do I need to do to be able to get there? So I took gymnastics until I was in sixth grade. And then I was introduced to the balance beam and some of these other things that were hard, and I didn't like doing them. So all of a sudden, well, I don't want to be that anymore, because I don't like doing this piece of it where the things I love doing, and I know I could do this for the rest of my life. Yeah, I want to be that when I grow up, but it's still something in the future that I'll become that person, not necessarily that, oh, I just am this person right away.
You know, it kind of makes me wonder, and you might know the answer to this because of all your studying and your researching and things like that, but do you know if do thinkers are better at achieving goals than B thinkers?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because I think that's one of the things I've always struggled with. I know how to set goals. I teach people how to set goals. I teach people how to visualize around their goals. I spend a lot of time visualizing.
Not
I have a
the
really hard time with the doing. I
doing.
really do. Like
Yep.
this is probably my worst challenge in life, because sometimes I think B thinkers don't know what to do. Like, it's almost like your thinking is so abstract compared to a do thinker. And so it's like, I know what I want to be, but I have no idea what to do
To get there.
or how. Even if you know what to do, sometimes you don't understand how to do it. You're like, okay, I know I need to make phone calls, but how? I know to pick up the phone and dial, but what do I say? Like, you know what I mean? It's just funny how you view things so differently. And I think B thinkers spend a lot of time thinking.
Oh my
You know,
goodness. Yeah, that's
and we can
universal.
get caught up in our thoughts and in our, you know, visual of who we want to be, and we lose sight of the doing. And I think that's, now that I think about it, having an accountability partner for sure that's a do thinker would be really
It's
important
helpful.
for people who need to get stuff done, for B thinkers especially, because it can be challenging. It can be challenging to be able to take the action sometimes when your mind doesn't naturally take you that way.
Yeah. In my coaching, predominantly when I'm working with B thinkers, it's always to help them to do. And
Right.
on the other side of that, when I'm talking with do thinkers, it's helping them to visualize. It's helping them to get into that mindset to do those things that
Right.
I think come more way naturally to the B thinkers. So yeah, it is that opposite strength, but yeah, B
Right.
thinkers struggle to
You do have to learn how to develop, 'cause I think everybody's born with both sides. You just have one highly developed more than the other, is how I would perceive it. And so it's just learning how to develop that other side enough to get you where you want to go, you know? And I think that's a challenge. And I hope somebody's listening to this and thinking, oh, that's what's going on with
Yeah,
me. That's
it's
what's
not
wrong. I'm a B
any.
thinker. That's why I'm not getting anything done.
Yes. And you know what? I think it is a comfort because for me, at least
Yeah.
as a do thinker, I'd never knew there was a different way to focus on it. I didn't know I could think, well, let me not think about doing for a minute. Let me just think about how I'm being or how other people are being.
Right.
And it's the same thing for B thinkers. It's a focus. Let me forget. Don't think about who you're trying to be. And it almost takes that letting go of your current way of thinking to focus on just doing, which isn't easy for
Right.
people.
No, it's true. It's not. It can be a really big challenge, and I'm glad that there's people like you that have got this skill set, you know, to guide people through that. I mean, I think what you're doing with teaching people the BeDo concept and coaching them through these different ways of thinking is so valuable, because it can be challenging. And even in my coaching, you know, meeting you and hearing this concept and understanding the different ways that people think in that way has even helped me in my coaching, because I can think, okay, this person's seeing things this way. And it sort of helps me know what questions to ask and how to explain maybe some of the relationship experiences that they're having that aren't working, of, you know, well, maybe that person is thinking this way. So it actually has even helped me in what I do in kind of framing things a different way.
Oh, I'm glad. I think the thing that's been the most helpful to me is just giving the words to articulate, to talk about it, to be able to say, oh, you know what? I'm thinking in a B thinking way, or I'm thinking in a do thinking way. Sorry, I need to switch over for a minute to see what you're thinking.
I love it. I love it.
Words to help communicate when we do have those
Right.
miscommunications. I'm curious, let's talk for a minute again about your husband, because you said he's a do thinker. So
Yes.
probably when you were having some of those issues in your marriage, I'm guessing he was a little bit frustrated about some of the things you were doing or wanted you
Yes,
to do
very
things
much
that were
so.
different. Maybe you
What
could
was
talk
I
about
doing?
that.
What was I not doing? Matter of fact, most of our conversations were me feeling like, why aren't you being this way? And he was like, why aren't you doing this?
Right.
Or why are you doing that instead of this? You know? So it's true that that was a lot of the conflict and frustration because he would look at what I was doing and think, what? You know, I would do it this way, or I would, you know, and I would look at the way he was being and think, I would not be that way. I would be this way. And I'm a very much a golden rule kind of person, you know, like you treat people the way you'd want to be treated. And yes, they have the platinum rule, treat people the way they want to be treated. But let's face it, nobody wants to be treated badly. So let's just stick with the golden rule for now, okay, for the sake of this. And I would think, you know, would you want me to talk to you that way? You shouldn't talk to me that way. Would you want to be treated this way? You shouldn't treat me that way. Not recognizing I was doing the same thing to him, right? But it's funny because I was so focused on his being and thinking I was being this great person when in reality I was doing things that were not really helping me be who I wanted to be. So it is interesting now that you brought that up because a lot of our conversations were him saying what I wasn't doing. And a lot of it for me was what he wasn't being.
That is
It's
the
so
video
interesting
concept in a
to see it that
nutshell.
way.
You said that so well.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny because being a B thinker, you know, I've never been big on traditionally domestic things. I don't like to do housework. I don't like to do things unless it's helping me be someone. Like my goal in life isn't to be the best housekeeper in the world, so why would I do that? My goal in life is not to be the best, you know, what cook in the world, so why would I do that? My goal in life is to be this great, you know, innovator and speaker and leader, so everything I do focuses on me being that, which doesn't include housekeeping, which doesn't always include being the best mother or wife by traditional standards. Not that these skills I'm learning aren't beneficial to my family. They're just not the traditional things. And my husband would think, why aren't you doing the housework? Why aren't you doing homework with the kids? Why aren't you doing, you know, these things while I'm out doing my job, right? He's thinking, I go to work every day and I do this stuff. So why aren't you doing this stuff at home? When in my mind, I'm thinking, well, I mean, to some degree, you are always thinking, what am I doing? Like, what do I do with my time? Right. And I'm like, well, I'm doing these things that are going to build my business and help me be this great business owner and help me be this great person that can eventually help us have more money. And so it's interesting where our focus was. And he was always focused on the things I wasn't doing that he wanted me to be doing, that I had no desire to do because it wasn't helping me be.
Oh, Christine, thank
If
you.
that
This,
makes
I
sense.
think, has been so helpful, and hopefully to our listeners out there who may be having similar issues where you're thinking, yeah, my spouse won't be or won't do, and just maybe thinking about it a little differently. Well, how am I doing in the being realm or in the doing realm to be able to connect and get on the same page? So.
Well, and I think it's interesting too, because most people have heard of love languages and you know, and of course, to no surprise, mine is words of affirmation because it's who I'm going to be, right? Who
Right.
I'm working to be. And my husband's is more physical touch and acts of service. What are we doing? And I think that for people who maybe aren't sure which category they fall under, that might be a great guide. That might kind of help them see what's your love language. Can you see what your spouse's love language is? That might help them understand a little bit more. Be thinking and do thinking. And how can I express? Like for me, I have to think, what can I do to help my husband feel loved? Where he has to look at who can I be to help my wife feel loved? You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I think that that can be a good way of helping you see the things that can be different and how we can do or be in such a way that meets our partner's needs and still fulfills our own needs.
Yes. Christine, thanks so much for talking with us
Thank
today. I
you.
think this has just been so helpful.
Well,
And
it's been a pleasure.
if anybody wants to get to know you better or follow you or learn about you, where can they go to find out more about you?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lindy. So you can follow me on Instagram at Mom of Five Warriors. And also, I have a website. It's ChristineLavulo.com. Christine with a CH, Lavulo, LAV as in Victor, ULO.com. And I also do have a Facebook group called Strengthening Marriage. So you can feel free to find me on Facebook. I'm pretty easy to find.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Christine Lavulo, and thank
Thank
you
you,
for
Lindy.
joining us today on the Be Do Concept Podcast.